David Sampson joins us. Always one of my favorites to talk to now. He's become like on my go-to list. Major League Baseball analyst, CBS Sports HQ. Former executive with a certain team that will go nameless. I'm just going to leave it nameless. But, David, I got to tell you, is Alex Anthopoulos not the hands-down runaway executive of the year this year? It seems like everybody he picks up off the scrap heap comes in and contributes to helping his team, you know, solidify themselves as the second best right now in the National League.
Yeah, he's certainly done a great job. There's no question about it. But I think if you're talking executive of the year, I'm looking more toward, believe it or not, the AL East. Let's not underestimate
Tampa?
What Brian Cashman's done. Ooh. Brian Cashman and that organization. When you look at the Yankees lineup from opening day and look at what they're putting out there every day now, and the fact that they've run away with that division. Now, he didn't take care of starting pitching, but you're talking about an overall regular season body of work, and he's going to end up with the best or the second-best record in baseball heading into October. I don't think he'll last in October, but he has consideration for Executive of the Year.
And so when you look at both the Yankees and the Braves, I think they're sort of in the same boat. Do they have rotations that make them viable to be able to win a seven-game series against the Dodgers, seven-game series against Houston?
Well, I think, you know, you're mentioning the Astros and the Dodgers, who are obviously the favorites to go to the World Series. They do have the rotation, but the Dodgers have some questions in their bullpen. The Astros, to me, have fewer questions than any team. But Atlanta, you know, they shore up their pen at the deadline, getting Shane Green and, sure. and Chris Martin, et cetera, but, you know, and bringing in Keuchel. But is it as good as the Dodgers' rotation? On paper, definitely not. Their lineup is deep, but not as deep as the Astros, not as deep as what even what the Twins put out there. So it's going to be interesting.
Tell me, David, when you look at a front office and an organization top to bottom of what Tampa Bay's got cooking and the Tampa Rays, is there anything they do that they're doing just vastly differently than everybody else? And can what they do, can that business model be copied for a lot of other small market franchises?
Well, here's what no one talks about in Tampa that really is critical, and it may be the only team where I've seen this happen. The owner of that team is named Stuart Sternberg, and he owns that team with no emotion. And that's going to sound like an insult, but it's not.
Okay.
Because he lets the baseball people do their job. He doesn't get attached to the names of the players. He's not in the clubhouse hanging out with the guys. He doesn't do any of those things. He allows the baseball guys to make the decisions that are in the best interest of the team, acquiring players who maybe he has no idea about, trading players like a Chris Archer, right, for guys who he really didn't know but end up being huge for that team in Meadows and Glasnow. So when you run a team like that and you have smart executives, you do well. But, John, let me add one thing for you. The advantage that Tampa has is diminishing because many other teams are trying to act the way Tampa has acted for many, many years.
When you when you're surveying the field in the National League beyond the Dodgers and the Braves, is there anybody that you really consider a viable alternative that could end up playing late October baseball?
The only one for me would be the Nationals, and that's if Scherzer comes back. Because they've got a 1-2-3 that no one talks much about. When you say Scherzer game one, then they're going to run out Corbin in
sure.
three and Strasburg in two, or maybe switch it around and do Corbin two, Strasburg three, because the game three pitcher generally starts at game seven. But the Nationals lineup is deep as well, and they've got a 21-year-old player who's a lot like Miguel Cabrera, who brought us a World Series ring in 2003. Juan Soto has that pedigree at that age. He's the, you know, the cleanup, the best hitter on a team at the age of not even able to drink yet. So they are a dangerous team. In a one-game playoff, I don't want to play the Nationals. And in a seven-game series, I'm not sure I do either.
David, so many people give me grief on Twitter because I'm a frustrated Phillies fan. And getting the opportunity to talk to people around Major League Baseball, I'm incredibly frustrated with their manager. I know the general manager. I'm not a fan of Matt Klentak's work either. But the Phillies have got to be one of the biggest disappointing stories of 2019.
Well, I think I may have been on your show. I can't remember during the off season when you know, they traded for Realmuto.
Right.
They signed Robertson. They signed Harper. And what I said to everybody who would listen is that I know what it's like to win the off season because I've done it in 2012.
You did.
the Marlins won the offseason. And you know what? There is zero correlation. Sometimes it's actually inversely correlated to winning the season. And that's what happened with Philly. They had a great offseason, and they're just they don't have the right pieces in place, in my opinion, to have a cohesive winning team, which is what I said in the beginning about signing Bryce Harper, by the way, how the Nationals, and I said this on CBS Sports HQ, and I admit when I'm right, when I'm wrong, and I'm mostly wrong, but in this case, I said the Nationals will be a better team without Harper, and a Philly's a worse team.
You said that on my team. You said that on this show, that you also thought that. Now, the Phillies are going to be a better team with Harper, though. That's the only thing, is they're going to be better than they were last year, because last year was an absolute collapse. And I'm telling you this, I don't trust Gabe Kapler. I honestly, if I had that dog walker app, I wouldn't hire him to walk my dog. I see a guy who, there's no rhyme or reason to what he does. I watch, maybe it's because I watch a Brian Snitker work up close and personal here in Atlanta, and I watch a man who does things, but after a game can articulate clearly what his vision was, what his plan was, and a lot of times I disagree with what he says, but at least he's able to articulate his plan. I don't get that from Kapler at all. And I think it's a lot of this new age management between the analytics guys and the old school baseball guys who take analytics into consideration, but still manage from their gut a little bit.
Yeah, I think the thing with Kapler, and the reason why I don't know that he will be the manager of that team for too long, is he's got an interesting personality. And if you don't understand what's in his head, you have a hard time understanding how to work with him. And he's not necessarily one who tells you what's going on in his head in an articulate way.
Oh boy.
And that goes for managing up and managing down. And when you have trouble managing both ways as a manager in baseball, you're not going to last long.
Oh my gosh. Do we have anything that, is there one storyline that we haven't talked about today that intrigues you as we're looking at the last 5 weeks of Major League Baseball action? That we haven't gotten into a team or storyline?
I'm fascinated with the Mets because I was riding them so hard to trade Syndergaard and questioning how you would even bother to get Stroman and then trade Vargas. They just didn't. Callaway, I thought, was dead man walking. I thought the BVW was the worst GM of all time, which I still do, because the Diaz Cano trade is an absolute disaster and will never get better, ever. And I can't believe what they've been able to do. It rallying behind Mickey, if you want to say that's what it is, or just realizing what a long season it is. I think they'll come up short and not make the playoffs, but I do say they turned their season around and made it interesting, and I don't know if Callaway can save his job, but he's certainly trying.
I would imagine that there's some guys, though, from what they've shown in the second half of the year, that would be interested in that job if it came open. So,
That is something that I would like to tell you. Everyone says, do you think that's a job that'd be interesting to a manager who wants to manage? Guess what? Like in football and like in baseball and like in basketball, you will take over a team that is going to lose 150 games if you can be the manager. You think Brandon Hyde is miserable to be the manager of the Baltimore Orioles?
No.
This is his opportunity to be a manager. You get any number of people, if the price is right, if you're experienced, like a Joe Girardi. Don't believe Joe Girardi that he doesn't want to manage and will only pick a good team. If someone pays him an ungodly sum of money, which won't happen anymore because those days are over with managers, I believe, he would manage any team. So I think that the Phillies are an attractive team. The Mets are an attractive team. The Orioles, the Royals, the Marlins. The Marlins will not have a hard time filling their managerial post after they do not renew Don Mattingly this offseason.
David, always appreciate it, man, and look forward to talking to you as we get closer to October baseball. Thanks, man.
Can't wait. I appreciate it. Have a great day.